Do you have a story idea, characters with a problem to solve, angst and betrayal, complications and twist? How do we build all those scenes into a novel? Maybe this episode can help. We're looking at basic plotting methods, plus we'll explore one more that I just learned about. It's part 3 of Plot It, One Guiding Decision from Think Like a Pro by M.A. Lee. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found on therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at inkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. We're bookcasting with Think Like a Pro by M.A. Lee, copyright 2017, revised 2018. For the past 2 regular Wednesday episodes, we're looking at the 7 plot types, not counting the New Year's Day episode of the opening scene of the Lion's Den. That's a freebie. If you're interested, write to inkbooks@aol.com to subscribe to Writers, Inc. newsletter and receive your copy of the freebie. Today, we're continuing with plot. We'll examine 3 of the 5 plotting methods that everyone picks from. Next Wednesday will be the last 2 of the standard plotting methods, as well as Kishotenketsu, which is currently at the forefront. I'm probably mispronouncing Kishotenketsu. I've only read it, not heard it, 3 times. Sometimes the online pronunciation rarely helps. For years, I had trouble with G-I-S-T, gist, or the gist. Anyway, let's do plot. We're building a firm foundation for our story. Here we go. 5 methods of plotting. Method 1. Every school, unfortunately, teaches simplistic plot, otherwise known as Freytag's pyramid, which can look like a simplistic pyramid. When applied to prose stories, it is merely a simplistic pyramid. Freytag was presenting the structure of a 5-act drama, not prose stories, but his pyramid is taught in language arts classes as if it were gospel. Writers who follow the pyramid quickly encounter difficulties. The unfortunate truth is that stories are not simple pyramids. For Kurt Vonnegut, his stories go straight down. James Fenimore Cooper writes classic roller coasters. Imposing Freytag's simplistic plot onto prose fiction twists the point. However, although it hurts me, here are the 5 parts of Freytag's pyramid when used with prose fiction. Part 1. Opening. Sometimes called exposition. The opening acts as the presentation of the characters, the central conflict, and major themes. Rising action is growing suspense. The term rising action does not allow for subplot, nor does it allow for the protagonist to have rewards as well as setbacks. Right in the middle is climax, defined as the point of the greatest suspense or emotional excitement, when it should be defined as the point at which the conflict's end is known. Like a question, will the protagonist do thus and so, or will the protagonist learn thus and so? According to the simplistic plot, the climax is centered in the story. Unfortunately, because of story analysis, we know that the climax occurs usually at the 80 to 90% mark in the story's text, not at the 50% mark. So we actually have a slanted pyramid. Falling action is the 4th part. This term implies that a great fall-off of suspense occurs, and it does. However, it doesn't occur for the entire latter part of the story. Resolution. I have seen high school textbooks define this term as everything after falling action, which is just sad. The resolution should contain the protagonist's revelation or epiphany about the major theme. Here is the 2nd plotting method. The only writing that could follow a type of pyramid, and please remember that Freytag was discussing the broad structure of drama, is Shakespeare's 5-act play. The 5-act play structure works for his comedies, tragedies, and histories. Act 1 equals introduction. Protagonists, who are not the first on stage, by the way. Antagonist, situation, setting, and primary themes and motifs. Shakespeare actually begins with themes through action. He will open by presenting whatever situation will control the entire play. Romeo and Juliet starts with a street brawl between the Montagues and Capulets. In Much Ado About Nothing, the crossed former lovers of Beatrice and Benedict and the new lovers Hero and Claudio are introduced. Beatrice and Benedict were formerly enamored, but their cutting tongues ruined their love, while Hero and Claudio are headed toward marriage. In Hamlet, the ghost of the old king walks the castle walls at night. The Archbishop of Canterbury discusses that the new King Henry V is making changes. and they discuss plans to keep him from interfering in their traditional clerical world. The three weird sisters swirl around the battlefield as rebels treasonous to the King of Scotland are defeated by the loyal Macbeth. Act 2 is complications. Events occur which deepen the problems for the protagonist. Romeo declares love to and then marries Juliet. Yes, that's a complication, for Romeo then infuriates Mercutio when he refuses to engage in a duel with his unknown-to-anyone cousin-in-law, which occurs in Act 3, and Juliet cannot accept the marriage her parents are forcing her into, which is Act 4. So, marriage is a complication in Romeo and Juliet. In Much Ado About Nothing, the mischief-making Don John tries to find a way to cross the love of Hero and Claudio in order to hurt his brother. We also have some lovely scenes of hilarity with Beatrice and Benedict. Hamlet must find a way to determine if the ghost speaks true about murder. He decides to pretend insanity. Henry V finds treasoners and takes Harfleur, his first win over in France. Macbeth kills King Duncan, his king and his kin, and a guest in his house, all with the assistance of his wife. Act 3 equals crisis. In a tragedy, the protagonist, whether willingly or unwillingly, takes the fatal step from which there is no return. This step will lead to doom. In a comedy, the protagonist takes a horrible and emotionally wrought step that would seem to cause great tragedy. History plays follow either the tragic or comedic structure. Romeo kills Tybalt in Act 3. This sets up his banishment, which causes both he and Juliet to threaten suicide. In Much Ado About Nothing, Don John sets up Claudio by making him believe Hero is not true, and Claudio rejects Hero at the altar. Hamlet has enacted the play The Mousetrap, which gives him the proof he needs. The ghost is a true ghost. However, he kills Polonius, which gives Claudius a public reason to get rid of him, causes Ophelia's mental breakdown, and drives Laertes' need for revenge. Henry V decides to march ahead, even though his army is likely to encounter the amassing French forces. We also have scenes in the French court. Macbeth sees the ghost of Banquo, the best friend whom he murdered for fear that Banquo would suspect that Macbeth had murdered the former king. His very public reaction to the ghost, that no one else can see, raises questions about Macbeth's ascent to the throne. Act 4 is the reversal. The protagonist sees doom and works to avert it. The antagonist works to ensure the doom. Juliet enlists the help of Friar Lawrence to avoid what will be a bigamous marriage. Her father moves that bigamous marriage up by one day, hastening her drinking of the death-like sleep poison. In Much Ado, Benedict challenges Claudio to a duel. Hero is buried while she is not dead. Don John's comrades in crime are caught by an inept and ignorant chief watchman. Will the correct information get to Claudio in time? Hamlet switches the letters to the English king, deliberately causing the death of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Ophelia drowns. Hamlet has now killed more people than Claudius did. Henry V defeats the overwhelming army of the French at Agincourt. Macbeth kills more innocents in his quest to keep the throne. Finally, in Shakespeare's structure, we have Act 5, Climax and Resolution, which is exactly what it says it is. Juliet awakens as Romeo dies and then kills herself. In Much Ado, the truth is finally revealed. Hero is true to her love to Claudio. Don John is evil. Benedict and Beatrice fall back in love. All is well. Hamlet duels Laertes, and each killed the other with Laertes' poisoned sword. His mother drinks the poison. Hamlet kills Claudius, then dies. Henry V defeats the French and wins the hand of the French princess Catherine. Through him, their son will inherit the English throne, and through her, their son will inherit the French throne. In Macbeth, the last three prophecies come true. A wood does walk, and Macbeth gets his head chopped off by a trunk from Burnham Wood. The five-act structure is very good for broad sweeps, but writers working with novels need a bit more detail. Another method admits that stories look more like roller coasters than pyramids. The protagonist approaches his goal, an antagonist blocks him. He makes a new drive, another antagonist pushes him, push only to be rolled back. Much like life, or Sisyphus, roller coaster plots are better known as complex plots. Nancy Duarte gave a wonderful TED Talk on an organic structure for speeches that is very similar to the roller coaster style of story. You can find her speech by searching for TED Talks, Nancy Duarte, The Secret Structure of Great Talks. She focuses on Martin Luther King Jr. and Steve Jobs, master orators. In a strange way, major speeches are much like story structure in presenting a goal, a desire with its obstacles that must be overcome. Duarte, interestingly enough, briefly mentions the archetypal story structure, which we'll discuss next Wednesday. Nancy Duarte claims that any communication is the distinction between what is, the status quo, and what could be. An organic structure is the best method to help the audience move from complacency with the status quo to motivation for change. By contrasting what is with what could be, master orators create in their audiences a euphoric bliss that motivates their change. Providers of blogs and speeches are any fiction. Duarte reinforces that Freytag's pyramid is too simplistic. As we work to the conclusion of any communication, Duarte advises us to make the gap between the status quo and the bliss of change as large as possible. For fiction, this means the synergy of the protagonist's push and the antagonist's pull becomes stronger, deeper, and more disparate. Your terminology for the roller coaster complex plot includes narrative hook, which is the first moment of suspense when the reader is hooked into the story. This hook, while intense, does not last long. Consider the opening hook of most James Bond movies, presenting the problem scenario and setting, and often the antagonist are the minions. Then comes exposition. Just look at Shakespeare's Act I. It's exactly the same thing. And remember, the protagonist rarely came on stage immediately. Conflict, same as Shakespeare's again. Once the conflict is clear, the story can move to the next section. Complications is the bulk of the story, a whopping 3/4 of it all. A series of setbacks and achievements in alternating scenes and sequels with added difficulties as subplots with their own story structures. Climax is the moment at which the conflict is over. Remember that question? Will the protagonist do thus and so? And resolution, or denouement, the protagonist and the audience's epiphany about the major theme and the tied-up loose ends for the other elements of story. We still have those two other plotting methods to discuss, plus Kisho Tenketsu, which we will do next Wednesday. Join us for the right focus. Until then, right on.